Hey, Growth Group leaders, Pastors Nick and Tim here. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for tuning in and just finding out how to care for your group with these questions. And we just had our huddle, and thank you for those of you who could join us at that time. We're talking about care. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed our discussion at the Slow Campus. And I wanted to highlight something before we get into questions today. We talked about how essentially you're the front line of care for our growth groups, but also you're not alone in it. You absolutely can reach out to pastors at your campus, your growth group pastor in particular. And we just have these existing ministries that you should take advantage of if it applies to your group. And so I just wanted to highlight real quickly meal trains. This is something we've had for a really long time at our church, and we have a big group of people who have signed up to help provide meals for hard seasons, births, deaths, all sorts, and that's available to you. Obviously, your group could just like take the initiative and provide meals for someone in your group having a hard season, but absolutely, you can reach out to a growth group pastor and say, "Hey, can we help get so and so meals?" And we'd love to come alongside you in that. So I wanted to remind you of that. It's existed for a long time, and what a great way to care for our people.
Yeah, your group may not need that, depending on the size of your group. If you have a needy group member, your group may be able to handle the meals by yourself. That's great. We don't want to stop you from that. But sometimes, as we've mentioned before, sometimes the needs in your group exceed your group's ability to meet those needs by yourselves. And at that point, so it's awesome to fall back into the larger church family. And this is a ministry that exists. Hey, Nick, I'm kind of curious, what would be, you said like a hard season, like what would be an appropriate scenario in a what qualifies as a hard season?
The common one is big sicknesses, ending up in the hospital,
surgery.
Mm-hmm. But also don't rule out there could be like a Diablo family where the husband leaves for a long time. Mm. And, mom's having just a tough time keeping it together with kids, or frankly like just big marital issues, or someone's out of the picture, strain. That definitely counts. Death, absolutely. Those sort of seasons. So,
Remind the folks again, what do they do if they want to access the meal ministry?
Growth group pastor. That is okay. Your main, there are other ways. That is the main way.
Love it.
So reach out to your growth group pastor. Yeah.
Great.
All right. Questions?
Let's do it.
This is a fun one.
You want me to touch on the message real quick?
Yeah. Tell us what are we talking about?
Yeah. So, again, we set it up in a way I never do. I mean, I never, at the end of one message, talk about the next message, but we did last week because it's a big one and something I've been thinking about for a long, long time. You'll hear me say it, like, this message was scheduled much later in our Life of Joshua series, but then, we kind of decided to do this month-long sabbatical, and I went to Miles. I said, okay, like this message is like in the middle of February. Do you want me to rearrange the schedule and put it and tackle it before I go? He said, please do. So I'm happy to speak the hard word and deal with this important issue this last Sunday before I shove off for a month of Sundays and a little bit more, actually. So it's funny, I'm getting back, and then I'll preach 1 week, and then I'm heading off to India. So it's it's kind of a wild winter spring here for me in terms of my preaching availability. But so why does God command the slaughter of the Canaanites? And this was, as I started to do some reading around the book of Joshua and the life of Joshua, this issue immediately presented itself, and I thought, whoa, okay, this is a massive issue for contemporary people, and so we need to deal with it at some point. My plan was to deal with it after the fall of Jericho, because the first part of the book of Joshua is fun, like be strong and courageous, and like cross the Jordan and blow the horns, walk around Jericho, the walls come falling down, and they slaughter all the people. And so I was going to deal with it kind of rah-rah start to the book of Joshua. That's why I had it a little bit later in the series. But this fits too. We're going to tackle it before we head into the book. And that way we will have, really wrestled with the issue. We'll keep wrestling with it as we move through. But it's interesting. I'm I'm eager in our church to deal with these sorts of challenges because I believe that wrestling through hard biblical issues can deepen our faith. You know, Paul talked about, you know, he says in the book of Acts to the church at Ephesus, I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Mm-hmm. So this is one of those whole counsel of God issues. And so I just think this is a great pastoral opportunity. So while I'm uncomfortable addressing this issue, just like everybody else is uncomfortable hearing about it, dealing with it, at the same time, I'm excited about it because I just think these issues are so important for young people, for all of us. Like, let's stare into the face of this stuff. Let's work through it rather than denying it, ignoring it, shelving it, you know, pretending like God's judgment doesn't exist.
Well, we'll basically hit on the thrust of what you talk about through the questions, but yeah, certainly, like you're saying, the main theme really is justice and judgment, and it cheapens the gospel if we don't about it.
That's right. So. We will talk about that. You bet.
There it is. So anyway, as someone who writes questions, I loved all these questions.
Oh, good.
So,
thank you.
I kind of want to hit them all, and you can just kind of go by quickly if you don't want to touch.
That's helpful. You know, I write, you know, when you write questions, you write them in a vacuum. So it's like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, yeah, great.
It's going to be challenging. So let's just jump into question two, because I'm curious what your answer is. It says, for you personally, on a scale of 1 to 10, how troubling is God's command to slaughter the Canaanites in the book of Joshua? And clearly this just helps us, our groups, jump into this topic. So
yeah, so I guess groups need to decide which way the scale is going to go. Yeah. So I'll say like 10 is like very, very extremely, you know, troubled. And one is I'm not troubled at all. And I would just say that I'm less and less troubled by God's judgment. But that hasn't always been the case. Part of it is I live in this material much more than most people, like teaching the Bible, like you're facing this stuff all the time. So I think I've gotten more comfortable, less troubled over time. And as you say, if we lose sight and ignore God's judgment, it does cheapen the gospel. And I think it blunts our sharing of the gospel as well, that we, you know, so I'm all about it. I mean, judgment's coming. That is the reality. So one of the things you'll hear me say is that anytime we see God's judgment breaking in the biblical story, it's a foreshadowing. It's one of the points. It's foreshadowing. It's a reminder. It's a foretaste that a final judgment is coming.
I think everyone's not going to have the same answers, Tim. And so just it's great to say, hey, it's okay you're uncomfortable.
For sure. You should expect sevens, eights, nines, and tens in your group. So I would say I'm in a unique category. Where are you at?
I'm similar. I feel like more and more over time, I'm just getting more and more comfortable with this idea. So
I'm glad to hear that because Nick's the funny guy in our church. So I like it that the funny guy is grappling with God's judgment.
Yeah. How is God's judgment like gravity? I'm so curious. I haven't heard the sermon yet. I'm so curious what this means.
Yeah. I just thought I'm just going to drop this question. So one of the things I'm going to say is like, you know, let's be honest, nobody loves God's judgment, but, you know, here's why I think God's judgment is like gravity. Like you may say you don't like gravity or you don't believe in gravity. I'm sorry, you're still bound by gravity. Like you can say you're standing at the top of a building. You say, I don't believe in gravity. I don't like gravity. And so you hop off that building. Like you're going to face the reality, the truth of gravity, whether you like it or not, or whether you believe it or not. And in that way, I think God's I know people who say like, I can't handle like what happens here in the book of Joshua. I don't like the fact that God is judge. So I'm going to just ignore that. I mean, here's the thing. Like if God's judgment is real and true, doesn't matter whether we like it or not, we are going to be confronted with it. We are going to face it. And I just think that's sobering. You know, you've heard me say it before, but are you willing to believe things you don't like? Once I cross that threshold and realize that like, okay, like so many in our culture today, we determine our belief on our likes and preferences. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have come, I just had to work through that. And it was a huge kind of turning point in my own faith. Like, God's judgment is just one category of things that I don't really understand, I don't necessarily like in the Bible, but I'm so convinced of the Bible story and the truthfulness of the scriptures that I find myself believing a lot of things that I don't like. And I really want to challenge our church in that. Are you willing to believe things that you don't like? I think that's a critical question for our young people and for all of us.
Yeah. I know a lot of people, it's just kind of build your own belief system
for sure.
right now.
And for sure. Salad bar.
Who's going to like pick that out and be like, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
Killing mm-hmm. women and children. That's rough. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's keep going. God's judgment breaks in across the Bible. Can you think of some instances? What is the purpose and function of these instances? What do they teach us? The one that comes to mind immediately is what's his name? The guy who catches
I forget his name too. The ark. He reaches out and, you know, they put the, so I love the story. I mean, the story's scary, but, you know, David, good intentions, right? Bringing the ark
like a party.
Into Jerusalem. Yeah. He's dancing before the ark, you know, it's like, yeah. And then, but he does it the wrong way. Yeah. He doesn't carry it with the poles. He puts it on the back of an ox cart. A guy who's kind of tending the ark's cart, it starts to fall off. He grabs it, boom, he's dead. You know, and David is so upset by this that he puts the ark in a barn for a couple years.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's like, he just God is a consuming fire, and he just doesn't know what to do with it. That he just like, woo, I don't want to have anything to do with this thing. And but eventually, you know, he realizes like God is holy, it's got to be done God's way, and he goes and gets it and does it the right way. And great instance. I was thinking of the flood.
Oh sure,
like you talk about like. We're not that far away from the flood in the story.
Right.
Like there, God wipes out all humankind except for one family. So let's not forget the flood.
Yeah. The purpose and function of these instances, it's a big wake-up call, big reminder, right?
Yeah, yeah. And just to, you know, like we will, Jesus, the New Testament is very clear. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Like, every one of us is going to give an account for our lives. There's going to be a judgment of all humankind. The Bible is just super clear about that. Jesus talks about judgment more than any other topic.
Go ahead.
It'd
almost be like weird. I don't want to say unfair, but it'd almost be out of place if that New Testament reality was true and we never saw these break-ins of justice. Then it'd be like, how would we know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's something about like, oh, it's so far off, maybe we don't have to think about it. But I really believe that, you know, that God is gracious to reset our understanding as we're living in the biblical narrative. Like, boom, God's judgment breaks in. Like God's saying, don't forget, don't forget. You know, so he's gracious to do that. He's resetting our understanding every time. And that's the way it happens for me as I read through, because I'm shocked. Like, whoa, he just wiped out thousands of people. I mean, it happens to Israel too, right? You had a tough text. Like people are wiped out. Israel's, you know, a lot of people die. And we go, I don't know, I don't have a category for this. And all this is just a reminder. And Jesus talks about it a lot. We don't have a meek and mild Jesus. He's talking about judgment a lot. And so all these breaking in instances of God's judgment are just meant to remind us, teach us, sober us. And hopefully cause us to run to Jesus, who, here's the gospel, right? Jesus took our judgment for us if we will look to him. And so the cross is the ultimate instance breaking in of God's judgment.
I like that. It is a grace. When you look at it through that lens, it is a grace.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, you point out in the book of Joshua, how is God's judgment slow and how does God show patient grace to give opportunity for people to turn to God and repent?
Yeah, so let's just talk about the couple instances that we've talked about here. So, flood. 120 years. Noah is building that ark.
Yeah.
You know, he's preaching the gospel. We know that he was preaching the gospel. The New Testament indicates that he was preaching the gospel. Judgment is coming. Flee to God. Mm. Get, you know, repent. Turn to God. Yeah. Turn to God. Nobody does it. Jericho, like they know. Like Rahab had heard about the crossing of the Red Sea. He'd heard what happened to she had heard what happened to the armies of Israel. She says, I know, we've all heard, and I know that you're going to get this land. And so Rahab is this great example. But even after the promise to Rahab, what do? They circle 7 days. Hmm. They're walking around 7 days. That is patient grace. Yeah. That is patient grace. Yeah. And you know, the walls are shut up tight, and we just forget this. We don't see this element that I think there's, and we'll highlight it on Sunday. I think there's great evidence throughout the book of Joshua, not just Rahab, but the Gibeonites. Gibeonites is a fascinating situation. They deceive Israel into like, hey, we want to make a pact with you, and it, they do it via deception. But God honors. They're still coming to God. They're still like joining God and his purposes, even though they do it in a deceptive way. And so not everybody is wiped out. Mm. And we'll talk about that.
That's such a relevant question just for our modern times of everyone who's just the prospect of eternity and people saying unfair, and just there's lifetimes of opportunities, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the witness of our conscience and mm-hmm. the world around us, so lots of graces that aren't acknowledged, mm-hmm. absolutely,
mm-hmm. yeah. And I would say, you know, and I'll say this on Sunday, like, if you're troubled by God's judgment, it's great. I get that, but he's provided a way. He's provided an escape. Like, today is the day of salvation. Right. So, you know, you can be troubled by it, but you've got an escape from it, mm-hmm. and it's Jesus. And so turn to Jesus. Like, for sure, you should be troubled by God's judgment. Mm. It should cause you to run to Jesus. Mm.
Gravity will pull you off a building, but there's a parachute. You can take it.
For sure.
Yeah. We can jump over 6, which is just a good chance for you guys to reflect on all the scriptures that are shared. But 7 says, why is the reality of God's judgment crucial for a proper understanding of mm-hmm. the gospel, mm-hmm. which we've been talking about? But why is it true that if we deny God's judgment, we can't truly understand the gospel?
Yeah, and I think the key to this question, you know, if your group doesn't go here, make sure you lead them there, leader, is, you know, that the cross is the judgment of God. That Jesus is drinking the cup of God's wrath. He's experiencing, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is Jesus' cry from the cross. That is Jesus experiencing hell for us. Mm. And, you know, it's not that he's going to hell. He's experiencing what hell will be, which is the absence and the turning away of God. Mm. And he's experiencing that for us. And so, you know, an understanding, a recognition of God's judgment is critical, vital, if we're to understand the gospel. And if we, I like the way you said it, if we deny God's judgment, ignore God's judgment, we actually cheapen the gospel and we fail to understand the wonder of the gospel and the goodness of the gospel.
It's necessary. Mm-hmm. Justice and wrath. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's a lot for your group to go through. Hopefully, you guys have really great discussions coming from this. I want to end our time just praying, kind of how you set us up to pray. Just ask God to give us trust, and that's something I've been thinking about a lot recently. Is just mm-hmm. we don't have to understand everything. We just don't have to. Mm-hmm. And so we can ask for faith. We can ask for trust.
Yep. Amen.
So, anything else before we pray?
No, I think we're good.
Okay. Lord God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your justice. I'm so glad that you are a just God. I usually don't like, you know, when it like breaks into my life and demands things of me, but I'm glad that you are just. I'm glad that it is imposed on me, and I'm glad that you give us grace in the midst of that justice. So, Lord, I pray for our people as they process this in our growth groups. I pray that they would admit difficulties and admit hesitations, mm-hmm. and that they would wrestle in a place where they would find your character and they would see your purposes and see that you're worthy of trusting. So, Lord, transform our church, we pray, grow us. I pray for Tim as he gives this fairly difficult message mm-hmm. this Sunday. Lord, thank you. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Nick.
Amen.
Growth Group leaders, thank you so much for your part in helping people find and follow Jesus here at Grace Central Coast.